Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gino Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gino Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
We were talking about Kevin Spacey, and it just so happens I have some interesting audio that relates to that. With him in the news, his brother, Randy Fowler, has a lot to say right now. You might have seen pictures of his brother before. He's that limo driver, Rod Stewart impersonator.
Oh, yeah.
Kevin Spacey's brother. He went on a podcast.
Wait, you really know who this is?
I think his name, I feel like it's come up.
This is a strong first item on the news.
Thank you.
Wow. Oh, by the way.
There he is.
He imitates Rod Stewart's corpse?
In a.
Oh, my God.
He looks like a specter.
He's come back to haunt us all.
In a.
Dennis Leary could play him.
Remember, I always talked about how Patrick Swayze's brother was more Patrick Swayze than Patrick Swayze? Patrick Swayze's brother was the lead guy in a Toyota truck commercial. And it's weird because it's not billed as Patrick Swayze or Patrick Swayze's brother. It just kind of reminds you of Patrick Swayze when you see him. Mm. And I don't know if it's smart or
Christy
bumps
would
you
give that
or
an A.
Let's take a look.
Weird, but you put it on your list for
Don Swayze?
Don Swayze, yeah. For I was like looking at it going, is that Don?
This one right here.
Swayze?
Yeah.
Watch your back, Cole.
He's taming a truck.
Easy now. Can't let him know you're scared. Easy.
Sounds just like him.
It does.
It does.
You got it, Cole.
Let it turn. Woo! Now, see, if I'm casting the commercial, I'm sort of like, yeah, this guy would be great, but he sounds like Patrick Swayze, and he's his brother, and he looks like him. Like, but do we want that?
But to the rest of us, I don't know. There's something about him I like, you know, if you're not putting it together.
He's more Swayze than Swayze.
That's a good
He's Swayzier.
He's Swayzier. All right, sorry.
So his brother, Randy, went on this podcast called Drew and Mike. It's in Detroit. And talked about growing up with him.
He does not share the same last name?
No. And I don't know if Kevin Spacey, if Spacey's his real last name. Like that, I forgot to look it up, but I think that might have been a name he gave
himself.
It's a weird
draw.
Yeah.
Kevin Fowler.
Fowler.
Kevin Spacey's last name is Fowler.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So according to TMZ, Randy, Kevin's estranged older brother, says they were both molested by their dad. And Randy says he was able to escape at an early adulthood, but apparently Kevin didn't. Randy says Kevin stuck around the family home for years to come in, and claims he morphed into his father, who Randy calls the creature. Here's a 60-second clip from the interview because it's just it really tells you what Randy's point of view is.
When you talk about what went on in the past, and you said you left the house and Kevin was there for 5 years after, are you suggesting that Kevin was molested by...
Yes, I am now suggesting that the facts do line up to that particular scenario because I have photos of him and my father together, and they have that look on each other's faces, okay?
Wow, so here's
the key to the whole thing.
Spacey smirk.
It's about perception. My perception was it destroyed most of my adult life while I lived in turmoil and silence and shame. My brother, on the hand, liked it. And he liked it a lot, evidently. And what he ended up doing was going into acting, creating a lot of wealth, power, and influence, and using that to lure his prey to satisfy his vice, which was his master. And he would do anything to fill it. And he's got away with it for 40 years. This is one of the reasons why he didn't want to have a relationship with me.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting ride to the airport in that limo.
Wow. You turn hot that's legs up just a little bit. I don't want to talk.
Just put that window up.
Delta's Terminal 2.
All right. I've been talking about this since Loveline. No one wants to talk about this part of it. They don't want to talk about either side of it. They don't want to talk about the victims who were victimized all throughout their life, and then they freeze, And the guy says, hey, man, have a beer. Let's get in a sleeping bag together. And they freeze. And then later on, they go, I was raped. But there were former victims who are now current victims. But the person that's victimizing them is not sure that they're victimizing them because they seize up and they freeze up. And no one will ever discuss that part of it because, again, it's more third rail talk. Like, hey, we can't discuss the dynamic of who the victim is and what made them victims. We found almost all the times victims who are get victimized in their 20s were almost always victimized when they were 11 or six. And if you want to really work on the problem, you have to discuss that side of it. The victimizers, of course, were victims at some point as well. Judging from Loveline and Spacey and whoever you're talking about, it's into the mid-90s in terms of a percentile. Like, you don't come up with this deviant behavior just sort of, oh, mom and dad loved each other and I had a great childhood. I was a Cub Scout. And I played Pop Warner football. There's something going on that makes this seem attractive to you. So at some point, the victim now becomes the victimizer. We feel horrible for them when they're seven. Right. We have no mercy for them when they're 50. We need, as a society and a culture, to at least start wrapping our minds around this cycle and unpack it a little bit. Because if we're simply, look, if she had a beer, then that's rape. And she may have said yes, but later on she said no. And we're not going to solve a problem with that. And we're not going to solve a problem with not understanding what these guys turn into after they're victims for so many years. It begins somewhere. It usually begins at the home. And it needs to be part of the honest conversation we always talk about having, but never really. Yeah. Really do. It's born somewhere. Yeah. And it's and sort of everything in between. But Kevin Spacey, you know, we go, oh, that guy's a weirdo. He's not a weirdo. He's a victim who had this turn into something else.
It's manifesting.
And now he's creating more victims. And by the way, folks he gets to, we gotta help them because they're gonna go out and they're gonna infect people as well.
Right. And like you said, I mean, at that age, if you're that young, not only do you might end up growing up thinking I have the right to do this because it was done to me. You might just not know what normal is. Yeah. You know, it's a boundary thing. You just think, well, that's what love looks like.
Yeah. I would like to know in any behavior, you know, whether it's serial killing or whether it's this kind of deviant sexual whatever. How often does it just exist in a bubble?
Oh, like pretty
good parents, right. Solid neighborhood,
pretty small.
Friends and family, and then this person has turned out to be an insane deviant who preyed upon at night, you know, streetwalkers or whatever. It rarely exists that way. So it'd be a good thing to discuss. So anytime there's somebody who victimized people, you can then go, all right, well, that person was a victim at some point. The Weinstein thing, I think, is different. I think that's just fat guy throwing power around, wanting to get laid. Yeah.
Absolutely agree.
Yeah.
So, first of all, I'll give you the upside. Well, no pun intended. The upside of this story first, and then I'm gonna get you angry. So, Bryan Cranston in a new movie called The Upside. Very exciting to see him in a new feature film. He has to defend himself, though, because he's playing
a quadriplegic
and people have some thoughts on it.
Oh, they still think an actor who has use of his limbs should play quadriplegic?
Bingo. Plays a wealthy quadriplegic who hires a caretaker, played by Kevin Hart, to help him on his daily routines. And he said, he says he has the right to take on characters, of course, with different attributes and abilities. And he added, as actors, we're supposed to be other people to play other people. If I, as a straight older person, and I'm wealthy and I'm very fortunate, does that mean I can't play a person who's not wealthy? So there's already online backlash, and there's why couldn't you find a disabled person to carry this movie?
No one seriously thinks that.
Well, then don't go on Twitter because you're going to be wildly disappointed. So he's at the point where he's now defending, you know, because this has happened, of course, with the LGBT community, Tilda Swinton, Jack Whitehall, a lot of actors have, you know, they've said, well, why can't you get a gay person? Why can't you get a trans person to play this role?
Sorry not to interrupt you. They got to be careful. The LGBT community.
Those people.
They got to be careful with that because if you really want to drill down, I promise there have been many, many, many more gay actors playing straight. And obviously we don't know about it because they're not
the celluloid
out of the closet.
Then, yeah.
Then there have been straight actors playing gay. I promise it's 10 to 1.
But we are now at the point where Bryan Cranston has to speak to the fact that he's playing someone in a wheelchair as
an actor. Just in. Just heard from the ghost community. They're very angry at Dickens. And everybody who's played A Christmas Story.
Well, it's a part and parcel of the whole comedy thing, which is let's be careful about monitoring what stand-up comics do. And let's be very careful about monitoring what actors do. In the job description, is making believe and playing other parts. Oh. And in the other job description, it's grabbing a mic, going on stage, and being a provocateur oftentimes. So,
plus, in this climate, in this movie climate, to make what is essentially, I would say, a smaller movie in what we call a smaller movie. It's intimate. It's about people. It's about relationships. There's no big special effects or anything. To get that made at a high level and released at a high level from a business standpoint, you have to say, who can I get in this movie to help sell this?
We need Kevin Hart and we need Bryan Cranston.
Yeah. I'm up against superhero movies every other week. Right. I'm trying to sneak this movie in. I'm just saying, realistically, that's a business concern of the studio.
A very valid point. Let me tell you quickly about LifeLock. LifeLock, I should say. Experts say the top cybersecurity predictions for 2019. Ransomware will taper off, but crypto jacking and other money-making schemes will increase. Government regulations and public sentiment on privacy will drive stronger data protection policies. More nation-state attacks and surveillance of individuals. We're here. The future's here, people. We need to protect ourselves. Good thing LifeLock Identity Theft Protection adds the power of Norton Security to help protect against threats to your devices you can't easily see or fix on your own. If there's a problem, their agents will work hard to fix it. You hear stories every day, people. It's 2019 now. It's time to get yourself some LifeLock. Right, Dawson?
No one can prevent all identity theft or cybercrime or monitor transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock with Norton Security can see threats you might miss on your own. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK. Use promo code Adam for an additional 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam at LifeLock.com for an extra 10% off.
All right, Gina, what else we got?
Well, on the heels of this upside story with Bryan Cranston, I imagine plastic toys everywhere are going to come out and Margot Robbie's going to face some backlash because Mattel and Warner Brothers Pictures officially announced that Margot Robbie will be playing the role of Barbie in an upcoming live-action movie. According to a press release, this marks the brand's first ever live-action feature film. Now, if that sounds familiar, there was going to be another Barbie movie, and it was going to be played by Amy Schumer. The plot was going to be Barbie getting kicked out of Barbie Land for not being perfect enough.
Oh, I thought you meant like shrimp on the. This is another.
Yeah, no, this is the Mattel version. And then going on an adventure in the real world. But that version got scrapped due to, they say, scheduling conflicts. And now Robbie will take on the role. I believe she was born to play Barbie.
Oh, the doll community up in arms over this one. They want an actual doll playing the role.
Yeah.
You know how we've said...
I saw Mrs. Beasley's Twitter this morning. She was not happy about this.
You know how whenever we say, well, he's no Brad Pitt, he's no George Clooney, is now the standard she's no Margot Robbie?
Yeah.
She's up there, man.
Yeah, she is. She's way up there. It's also interesting to me that they'll figure out some sort of plot that involves ISIS and a terrorist and a dirty bomb being planted in Chicago that Barbie's going to – like they'll take this and spin it into something. Yeah. Barbie's going to save the world.
Yeah, I mean there's been Battleship and – I mean there's been a million of those movies.
Somehow Roy Scheider will appear.
That's right.
Chasing somebody down the subway.
We're going to need a bigger Dreamboat.
Brian, I don't know. You know, you and I have that thing where we kind of trust Dreamboat. You and I have this thing where we kind of trust certain actors with certain projects.
To an extent, yeah, for sure.
And she did Hellraisers or whatever that stupid squad was.
Oh, Marley, Suicide
Clown Squad.
Squad
or whatever. But
Harley Quinn.
I kind of like her choices, I think. And I'd be curious. I don't think she would have signed on. She's got enough juice to do whatever she wants.
She did Tonya right? Harding. She
I feel like if she signed up for this, there must be an interesting script somewhere.
Or she'll make them produce an interesting script.
Right. Yes, that. She's at the point now in her career where I'll see anything she's in because, you know, the I, Tonyas of the world. Yeah. And like she has picked good projects for the most part. Suicide Squad notwithstanding. But that was a big, that would probably pay her $15 million or something to that nature. It was a huge movie. That notwithstanding, also, we're in a world now where you can't write off anything as a concept. Like, the Lego movie came out. I'm like, fuck this. I'm not going to say the Lego. It was amazing.
Awesome.
It's so good. So you can't write off
the crackle.
Can't write off any concept. Yeah. Any concept can be good in the right hands.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see. Can't wait. Well, if you filed for divorce in the past few days, you are not alone. You know why? Because according to the Sun newspaper, Divorce Day is shortly after Christmas and New Year's.
That's, oh, my God. It's exciting.
That's where divorce lawyers see a surge in inquiries. This year, it fell on Monday, January 7th. It always falls on the first working Monday of the new year. Last year, it was January 8th. Many couples wait until after the festive season is finished to avoid a messy holiday divorce. Meanwhile, one law firm noted that they've seen the number of inquiries double around this time, and then in late January, it just kind of starts to taper off. They said over the last 2 or 3 years, they've also noticed that people even inquire just a little bit early between Christmas and New Year and then pull the trigger on that first Monday.
Boy, whatever happened to, your dad just had to go do some road work. He'll be back in 3-4 weeks.
Pick up some smokes.
Yeah, we're taking a break.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I'm trying to think. I'd be curious to find out in what states, such as California is a bad state to get divorced in if you have a couple of houses or some money. And so I think guys tend not
cheaper to keeper
to get divorced. Mm-hmm. You get more square footage. You go to your side, load up your TiVo. I'll be in the man cave in the basement with my TiVo.
Tell Olga to bring the blue apron when she's hypothetically.
Right. Hypothetically. I'm wondering in places like Florida, which might be a little more hospitable to divorces for people of means, I'd like to know percentage. Now, you understand off just by asking the question, well, it's probably higher percentage of people doing it in places where it's easier or they save more money or they whatever it is. But I just curious in a certain tax bracket, you know, those who make $250,000 a year or more, or whatever that Mason-Dixon line is, in states, what state is considered the friendliest to divorce, and what state is considered the least friendly? Like California, I've known guys that got divorced where, like, I knew a guy, he married his second wife, his second wife never worked. She just took like acting classes. She ended up cheating on him. She ended up announcing that she wanted the divorce. He was devastated and then announced you can move out of the condo and she'll just live there and you can just pay her $18,000 a month or whatever it
no
is.
Fault
and
state.
Those are the rules.
Yep.
And it's like, wow, that seems weird because he wanted to stay married and she was cheating and he owned the condo before he met her, but okay.
I do not understand. Maybe I'm naive and trust me, I'm a huge champion of women. I am one. And of course I want to see women succeed and of course, blah, 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 blah. I know 3 men in my life that have gotten so hosed by this no fault state that it breaks my heart. I cannot believe what they've been put through.
Also, I scream about unintended consequences. I talk about rent control, and I know a guy who's got a place on Ocean Boulevard, and it's $500 a month, and he'll never own a home because somebody subsidized this place, and why would he ever move away from the ocean? I would argue that it kind of policies create actions. And if you're looking for ladies to be at their best, telling them anytime you get pissed off at this dude, just tell him to pack it in and he can move down to the Hi-Ho Hotel and you can stay in your 5,000 square feet and he'll just send you checks. It's going to create a certain element of let him handle it. Mm-hmm. Like if you I don't even think it's conscious. It's just like if somebody said to you, here are the terms. You live in this house. You do what you want. If the shit ever goes down, you're not moving. They'll move out, and then they'll just send you checks.
Yep.
You have a little less incentive to just be on your game.
Yep.
I would say it breeds a little complacency. It's like be sort
it's
of like
hobbling.
The rules help the offensive receiver over the defensive back. And did you just say I may be naive, but
there's UPS.
Well, that's the thing. If someone said the woman who paid $700 for a fake strip show.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, men that are very close to my life have all been affected by this. And I honestly believe the counter people in these situations are deplorable and disgusting.
California.
It should never have had to go through this.
California is the worst.
What?
D.C.'s the best. That's kind of funny because they're making some policies over there.
My guess was going to be, can I see if this is second? Because it's so easy to get married, I assumed it would have been Nevada.
It's got to be top 5 or 10. What I'm saying is this, back to my motivation and unintended consequences. The post office versus UPS. UPS, guys pull up in those trucks, pull an e-brake, or diving out of the truck, doing a shoulder roll while the car is coasting. The truck is coasting to stop. Run. Mm-hmm. They run. I've never seen anyone run on the job. They run, drop the bag. They run back because they have incentive. They have to deliver X amount. Go to the post office. People shuffle around like Mr. Tudball. Okay. Why? Parcels, people, pay. One person, I don't say the post office person is a bad person and the UPS guy is a good person. Someone's got a little incentive.
Yeah.
The other, not so much.
Right off the clock.
It's going to create that whether you like it or not. Yeah. Thank you.
We'll put.
All right.
All right.
Well, Pizza Hut. They're doing some apologizing.
Oh, boy.
They're doing apologizing.
For their pizza over the 30 years?
For the stuffed crust?
Let's start by apologizing to the Italians, for God's sake.
Well, they're going to have to get in line because this time it's to a
have to get in line.
I'd like to be at the R&D portion of Pizza Hut, like wherever their headquarters.
Sure.
You know, they're out in Pueblo, Colorado. You know, they have the R&D part.
I've seen the commercial in Sicily, Italy.
And I'm just sitting around and I'm like, hey, okay, listen, we've got triple toppings, meat lovers. We've got the pizza pizzone. That's where we put the cheese. And then we take another pizza and we capsize it on top of that pizza.
We have the square pizza.
Stuffed crust. We got the stuffed crust. Now, obviously, we're in a never-ending quest to make America morbidly obese. Might I float this idea? Stuffed butt. Now hear me out.
I like what I'm hearing.
They
so
get
far.
A regular pizza while we shove another pizza up their ass.
Okay.
Whoever, hot and fresh.
We're listening.
We'll have whoever's delivering the pizza.
Can talk
the
butt about stuffed, motivated delivery.
Can the butt stuffed pizza be stuffed while it's being stuffed?
Bird, I like where your head's at.
I like where your head's at.
Obviously, there's a molten cheese liability that we're going to have to look into. But what are we doing wasting all our time just stacking pizzas on top of pizzas and making pizzones? There's a whole nother entry.
Yeah.
People could be gaining weight that way. Why? You ever thought to yourself, yes, I'm eating a pizza that's been capsized on a pizza that's entombed a pizzone inside, but I could be getting fatter?
I've had that notion.
I got
that. It's like you're in mine.
Stuffed butt pizza, Bert.
Here's the name, Sapositano.
Sapositano.
Oh, that's so much better. Wow. So much better than mine. I was thinking of the Strombuttley.
That's right. You come in, one pizza's being held by a guy above his head in the traditional case, the other's wrapped around a mop handle.
That's right. A sort of spear fashioned out of a mop handle.
Speaking of tips, let me just give you this one.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, write that down, Bert. Stuffed butt pizza.
I'm way ahead of you.
Okay. Sorry.
By the way, if we told somebody that they stuffed their crust with hot dogs, they would think we were kidding.
Right.
But they did it.
Oh, yeah.
They did.
For sure.
So they had to apologize to a vegan customer who felt outraged after being told that the food's ice cream did not have any animal products. On Saturday, 23-year-old Corey Swaby, who just recently became vegan, stopped by a local Pizza Hut in England to try out some of their new vegan-friendly options. He liked the jackfruit pizza, but claimed the waitress said the Pizza Hut ice cream station did not contain animal products. But he later discovered that it did. When he learned of the mistake, this is what Swabee said, quote.
Can I say this? Maybe if you're gone full vegan, maybe Pizza Hut.
Not your place.
And you steer clear.
And anything with more than 7,000 chains, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, remember?
Franchisees.
Yes.
Like, maybe just go to the Ma and Pa vegan place.
That's what happened to the vegans with McDonald's when they found out that there was beef tallow in the French fries. And they went insane.
How committed are you to the vegan lifestyle if you're going to the place that, you know, that has buckets of meat to be thrown on top of
and
the
also,
product?
Isn't it the general vibe and gestalt of the movement is not go there and make corporate America rich. Yeah. It's to go to the Ma and Pa corner
small
place
footprint.
With the guy with the hand-thrown pottery jars and he's wearing his fucking flip-flops he made himself out of recycled truck tires. And that's the guy you want to give your bread to, right?
Macrame silverware
that's
holder.
Right. And
well,
that's right.
It's England, which is just like a testing ground for places like Pizza Hut.
Right.
We'll try the fruit pie pizza there. You
jackfruit. So this is what Swabee said. This is appalling. I'm outraged.
Wait, have you seen that Toyota commercial? Sorry.
Patrick Swabee. I'm outraged. Heartbroken, in fact.
Heartbroken.
I feel like my lifestyle...
Been a vegan for 11 hours and you're devastated?
I feel like my lifestyle has been mocked. It's a mistake that shouldn't have happened. I could have had a milk allergy. Pizza Hut has apologized.
Yeah, but he's just gearing up to sue, right?
I would imagine.
Well, in one breath he said it was mocked, and the next breath he said it was a mistake.
Oh,
which
is it? Which is it?
Well, the mistake is going to Pizza Hut for ice cream.
Yeah.
They
don't even have the balls to try that in America.
Would the mistake also be Mr. Swabee not pulling out 23 years ago?
I never. Yes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Drop the hammer.
Wow. I never
you are pissed about sort of get.
I'm having a rough day.
I'm a newborn when I think about every time I think about people going like, well, let's get some dessert. Let's go to Pizza Hut. And I go, there's the Marie Callender's across the street. Go get a pie. They're like, no, I'm going to head over here. Yeah. Or it's my – I was screaming to I was screaming at Football Sunday about this.
You're screaming at nobody.
I was screaming at nobody.
To the wind.
No, I can't get over – like I can't wrap my head – around AM, PM, and like their lunch offerings. Because they have a hot dog on a stick churro that's injected with Hormel chili, and there's two of them for $2.99. Yeah. And I go, or you could go the In-N-Out Burger. There's an In-N-Out Burger. It's up the street. You could just go there and for $2.69 or $3.29 or $4.26, get a double burger. Why are you going to In-N-Out? Like, I cannot. And
I went to Baskin Robbins to try their enchiladas.
Are you heartbroken?
I'm offended.
You feel mocked.
Swabee, Swabee,
yes,
Swabee.
I do.
All right, let me tell you quickly about stamps.com. New Year's resolution. Here's one. You can actually keep everybody. Stamps.com. Start using that. We talked about the post office. Nothing wrong with the post office, but why go down there? You can buy and print official U.S. postage, any letter, any package with your computer and printer, and then hand it right off to your mail carrier. Just click print, mail, and you're done. We use it here. We've been using it here since, it's got to be at least 8 years. And right now, we got a special offer. It's a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. I think the scale goes up to 80 pounds. Why would you do anything else? Start your new year off right. Go to stamps.com. Click on the microphone top of the homepage. Type in, Adam, that is stamps.com. If you're running a business out of your house or you're just trying to take care of business, you go to stamps.com, enter Adam, you get the scale, you get the postage, and you get going. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right.
Or well, two more.
Okay. Well, speaking of postage, 6 LA mail carriers were honored last Thursday for an extraordinary achievement. They have each driven 1 million miles on their routes without ever being in an accident. Mm. The mail carriers have not even had one fender bender. And as a result, the National Safety Council welcomed all
this?
6 to the Million Mile Club.
When you never break the 14-mile-an-hour barrier,
it's tough.
The instances of you getting into accidents goes down dramatically.
When you're 9 years behind in your deliveries.
Right.
When your average distance is 3 doors.
Yeah. Never been on the freeway.
Wow, way to take away from this achievement.
You're named after one of the best bands in rock and roll history. three doors down, and you never break that 14-mile-an-hour barrier, it's going to be a lot less accidents.
You
but
do
still
put it in
an
perspective.
Achievement.
Yeah, they are all out of the Alameda post office, by the way, here in California.
I was just there.
Were you? Did you shake anybody's hand?
No, it was in Alameda.
The million miles each one has driven is the equivalent of circling the globe 40 times without ever leaving the city limits of Alameda. And the achievement is pretty mind-boggling given how perilous driving here can be. But you're right. They're driving different cars and not going super fast.
I'd be kind of curious about the UPS guys, because UPS guys are out on the highway and they are hauling ass.
And not to diminish their accomplishment even more, but Alameda is an island. So you're not going to get the crazy through traffic that you get in a lot of other places.
Wow.
Don't at me, Alameda residents. I know people drive crazier sometimes, I'm sure, but it's an island.
All right. Point shitting.
Too bad we weren't at the ceremony. A few brief words.
If I may.
Bald Brian Adam Korolik, say a few brief words about these heroes, and then we'll commence with the golden mailbox medallions.
Our fifth golden mailbox, another Alameda postal carrier.
First, all respect to Tom, Dick, and Dave. They're great mail carriers.
Yeah.
Right. A few things.
That being said. Nothing ever good comes after that being said.
Yeah. Leave it at that.
That's right up there. I'd like to help.
But
whatever happens next is not going to be good.
They're not on board. Well, finally, this is actually, I hope people are as excited about this as I am. Having seen the Sopranos series, we're now on our 16th
It's been
viewing.
Replay right now. It's been replayed on HBO.
Yeah.
In its
entirety. And we're now season 5 into our 16th viewing. This is my favorite show of all time. Show creator David Chase revealed in a recent Deadline interview that he is working on a prequel film to The Sopranos called The Many Saints of Newark. According to Chase, quote, the movie will deal with the tension between the blacks and whites at the time, and Tony Soprano will be a part of this, but as a little kid. It'll also follow
Junior Soprano and
well,
all of his
actually, it's supposed to follow the story of Dickie Moltisanti, who is Chrissy, Chris's dad, Chris Moltisanti on The Sopranos. He's often referenced, but he has already passed by the time the series rolls around. So, you know, they always said that Tony really looked up to Dickie and Dickie was like a father to him. So I think it's going to focus on his role. The film's set to be released next year, and I cannot wait. Did you ever watch it?
Yeah, I got on board late.
We talked about it a lot on the morning show.
I watched it later on. It was a late arrival. I loved it. I was shaken to the core, though, last week when I was watching the reoffering on HBO, because it was the one where Tony killed his sister's boyfriend or
Richie.
Fiance or husband,
right.
Richie.
Joey Pants.
And he handed him off to
Christopher. No, not Joey Pants.
Oh, it was the other guy?
Richie.
Yeah, it was to Christopher to go dispose of him in like the meat locker, take him down, break him into pieces, and scatter him around so he couldn't be identified. Lots of blood squirting and lots of this.
Butcher knives.
Christopher's working the bandsaw. Lots of gruesome sounds and blood flying around. No movement of the bandsaw blade. It upset this carpenter very much. The bandsaw blade was stationary because the deal was we don't want to turn the bandsaw on. We just want to go and have him work. And we'll work at an angle where you only see 2 inches of the bandsaw blade. No movement whatsoever.
A bunch of Italians on set, they would know to move the bandsaw.
As a carpenter who's used a bandsaw more than once, it was upsetting.
I coincidentally had this random thought today, not knowing this story would come up, but I'm just going to say it. The finale? Brilliant.
It has divided the nation for 20 years almost.
I'm with it, but it brought back that Don't Stop Believing song.
In a big way.
That's an issue for me.
Yeah.
All right. Was that two?
That's the last story. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Max Paddock, can you find the zero movement on the bandsaw scene?
If I may say, tip of the cap to frozen ground beef. If you've got a jawline that hurts and you've got 17 hours of talking to do, try frozen ground beef.
I know.
It's ground pork.
Good job. I tell people all the time, you'd be surprised how many days of work you don't miss if you can't miss work.
Yeah.
Like,
hold on.
I don't miss work because I can't miss work. Yeah. So if I have major oral surgery in the morning, I still go to work. Whereas, if I work for the post office, I wouldn't go to work. And it doesn't mean there are not some times you can't go to work, but the times you really can't go to work are much smaller than the times you don't go to work. have had any kind of job working for that. If I work for the federal government, if I work as a school teacher, even if I just work for me, I wouldn't come in if I were me working for me if I had like major oral surgery earlier that day. But I don't have a choice. And thus, you'd just be surprised how many days you will go to work.
If Fondalier and I worked for the post office, you think when he broke his shoulder and I broke my foot, we would have been here?
Hell to the no. All right. Sorry. Do we have them doing
it? Furio.
At Satrielli's Pork Shop.
They're working the bandsaw.
You know what time these humps come in for work?
But at a certain point, when they move in on the bandsaw, the bandsaw is still. The bandsaw's not moving. Mm-hmm. You can see the blades just.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right there. Yeah.
Yeah. I was bummed.
You know what? I hate this show.
This carpenter was upset. You don't do that with a bandsaw.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
You just don't. All right, did we bring it home?
We did.
Let me tell you then about Geico real quick. Like, you got the to-do list, work that bandsaw, get oral surgery. How about you add, save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to drop anything off or pick anything up. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. Take that extra money, put it in your pocket, get a nice chub pack of frozen beef, put it on your face. At Geico, most rewarding thing you're going to do all day at geico.com. Hey, my movie Road Hard is going to be streaming for free on Tubi, T-U-B-I TV. Do you say Tubi? TubiTV.com. So if you want to watch Road Hard and you want to watch it for free, check it out on Tubi TV, Irvine Improv, January 24th. Also, Foxwoods, Connecticut, February 8th. I'm doing stand-up there. And then Boston Wilbur Theater, February 9th. So come on out. Say hi. Thank you. Jeff Cesario, Stand Up and Away with Brian Regan. Super funny show. You can see all four of them now on Netflix.
Also, JeffCesario.com. Just redesigned the website. Let me know what you think.
Please go and look for dates and events and things of that nature. And until next time, Adam Carolla for Jeff Cesario and Gina Grad and Val Bryan. Say mahalo.
The strippers, God love them, they were really nice guys.
Stick around for today's episode of Good Sports with Dave Tamashek and Adam Carolla. It's coming right up.
Ace and Shecky, let's do it.
The Podcast One Sports Network presents Good Sports.
Hi and hello, sports fans. Welcome to a brand new episode of Good Sports here on Podcast One. Dave Damashek here, Adam Carolla over there. I don't know, maybe divisional round playoffs we'll talk about. The Rams are about to get underway here, Ace. I still say they're going to the Super Bowl. We'll see about that. But all right, listen, we're talking about Kalen behind the glass there. Seeing fit that somehow to take his pants off in your home and use what he found on his lady friend in your bed.
Yeah.
I mean,
again.
Wieners. Wieners were about. Wieners were around in your room, exposed. And it wasn't your wiener, Ace.
The wiring for me, in a weird way, was always. It's like, I remember one time when we had a guest. Famously, gotten this big argument. I've had this argument.
The guest was famous or the argument was famous?
She was famous at the time. She was the good-looking brunette with the Dorothy Hamill haircut from Baywatch. She's like, oh, I'm the B-cup who's sensible. I'm super attractive, but everyone's focused on Pam Anderson.
Okay, I think I know which one you're talking about, yeah.
First five seasons she of Baywatch.
She dated Hasselhoff on the show, right? Wasn't she his lady, maybe?
She was... God, I've got to think of her name. But anyway, she was slated on to come on Loveline.
I was just going to say, how the hell does that person wind up in the Carolla Manor? But all right.
She was going to come on Loveline.
Okay.
And she was one of the stars of Baywatch, pretty big star at the time, one of the biggest show in the world at the time. And we're happy to have her on. And it must have been season one, Gary, and she'd be the sensible brunette with the short hair. Super attractive, but again, standing next to Pam Anderson at 23, not as attractive. But the big argument was, and the reason I'm circling back to this, is she was like, I'm not coming on the show. I'm canceling. And I said, we got through her publicist or whatever. And we said, why are you canceling? And she said, I'm training Alexandra Paul. That's her name. I'm training for a marathon or half marathon or a 10K or whatever it is. I'm training for a run coming up. And I get up early and I run. And I said, all right. But I get up early and take flights out of LAX. And we go all over the place playing colleges and whatever. You know, come in. We'll have you out. You know, leave at 11:30. Go home. Go to bed. And I don't know. Hit the pavement at 7 or whatever. And like, nah, I got to get up. And it's like, you got to get up. But you got to get up to jog. You're not sick. You're not doing
the show
a competitive
doesn't go
marathon.
To 5 a.m. either.
Right. We're done by midnight. Me and Drew. Drew's got to like get up, make the rounds in the morning. I got to go do the man show all day or whatever. Come get 5 hours sleep and then go run. You know, nah, I got to get up early. I said, look, it's not that you're not coming in. It's that you should be coughing and going, oh, man, guys, big fan. I got a really bad. I got a bronchial condition, whatever. And then go run. Now, the argument always eventually turns into, oh, so you want me to lie? And I go, yeah, I do. And they go, oh, so you're just saying you should lie. So you're mad at me for not lying. And I go, no, I'm mad at you for not having respect. Now, what if you were doing Letterman and you just called in and go, I can't make Letterman? And you go, because I'm going jogging tomorrow? is that what you tell Letterman? And you know what the fucking answer always is? Oh, no way. Yeah, of course not. And I go, okay, well then good. If we've established there's somebody you that like or respect or whatever.
Right.
You keep getting into this thing where they end up going, well, yeah, no, I'm telling you the truth. What's wrong with the truth? Like, why is the truth bad?
Because it hurts my feelings, like, that's why.
So I'm saying, have the fucking dignity
to
pretend you're sick, and when you're done making sloppy, drunken love in my bed, using my pillow as a prop to bite on.
Is that what happened?
As she dons the strap on.
Why?
Have the fucking.
That's how you do.
Have the quiet dignity to do a cursory sweep of the area before you then head off to LAX. Now, to be fair, you did have to get out of the house at 10:15 in the evening. So you only had about an 11-hour window where you could clean up that peak. Pizza box and the undergarments, right? Like, you're not leaving till 10 o'clock at night. Like, walk around the house one time and see if you see pizza boxes or bras or things like that. So I just walked into the house.
Hard to do with a strap on stuck in you.
Yeah. I walked into the house.
This is taking a bad turn.
I walked into the house. I just walked through the front door. I was like, pizza box. All right. I guess somebody had pizza. And then I thought, maybe there's some pizza in the pizza box. I'm guessing the only reason you'd leave a pizza box out is because there had to be pizza in it. No pizza in the pizza box. In the refrigerator. Good. That was a move towards sanity. But I don't know why you don't throw away the pizza. And it's literally, if you know my house, it is on display. Like, you can see it from every room in my house. It's on top of the top bar, 42 inches off the ground, the large pizza box just sitting there empty. Weird. Now, again, I'm not offended. And it's not like, oh, man, am I going to throw my back out telling someone to throw away that pizza box? Like, I don't care. It's more that you're not capable of it that scares me. That's the scary part. So
well, when you entrust these people to do stuff that makes you money, then it must your brain extrapolates. Uh-oh, what else is slipping through the cracks or being left out on the counter?
The over-under on speeches where I've went, just don't let me find out about it by walking into the door, the studio, whatever. The over-under on those conversations, Gary, that I've had here.
42,000?
Okay. That's the part that scares me. But again, it's not egregious. I find the box. Then I turn the corner and I walk into
Caitlin
the bedroom.
Caitlin found the box, too.
I turn the corner and I walk into my bedroom, and on top of my chest of drawers, where I keep my socks in my home, I got a big built-in. You couldn't get any wider or any taller or any broader. It's 6 foot across. It's 2 foot deep. It's got a white veneer top, and it's a custom built-in piece of furniture that has all the drawers, all my stuff in it. On top are two bunched up and twisted towels that look like it looked like someone went in the jacuzzi and then just sort of threw them down and jumped on the bed. But it was like weird twisted towels, two of them. And again, I have my thing of like, hey, take the wet towels, spread them out, dry them out. They're going to get mildewy. Spread them when you get out of the shower, pick them up, spread them out, hang them out, let them air dry, blah, blah. Two gray twisted towels.
Kalen was at the Ace Hotel. He wasn't picking up after himself.
Just on top of my bureau. So I went, Jesus Christ, talk about not doing a sweep. Like I figured that someone went in the jacuzzi or the shower or something, got out and left the towels on top of
that's gross to me.
Bureau.
If it's wet.
Well, once again, it kind of flies in the face of a sweep. It's not like it's not like at some point I open my desk drawer and went, my letter opener's not in its sheath. What's going on? It's not that. I wish it was that. It's more like I just walk in my house and go, well, someone's been eating pizza. And then I walk in my bedroom and I guess someone's in the jacuzzi, I guess, or whatever. The towels are twisted amongst each other and literally sitting on top of just a big white bureau that is 3 feet from my bed. So I then walk up to the towels and I go, all right, well, I best spread these out, shake them out and dry them out. And I lifted one to shake it out, and a bra went sailing. It landed on my child's face in a single tear. And I thought, well, I don't know that people involved with coitus on my bed, but I have now at least figured out that there was a woman in some undress, some phase of undress in my bedroom. I'm doing a math, a coitus math. But again, nothing I needed to know, but pretty hard to avoid when there's a stranger's bra that's on top of your bureau, balled up in a moistened towel or two towels. Now, again, as far as the sweep goes, Kalen, very sweepable. I feel like the boss's bureau next to his bed is a super sweepable item. It's just a big sort of laminated Formica white top that is 2 foot deep and 6 foot wide. And there's nothing on it. It's not like, well, he got his bras mixed up with my bra collection that I keep on top of the... There are no bras on top of that, and there are no towels on top of it. So it's pretty easy because you don't have to show up and go, wait a minute, was that bra there before I got... You can just simply take everything off the
top.
But
by the way, as a side note, what was your girlfriend? It didn't occur to her like, hey, I cannot find my bra.
Well, when I told her about it, she did notice that her bra was missing, but forgot to text me that she had been that she was missing her bra.
Oh, okay. So, you guys should never have kids. And the reason you guys should never have kids is because you would find them in their teen years just jumping into their car and sitting into the passenger seat and just wanting to go. And then at some point, you had to go, what are you doing, Timmy? I'm in a rush. But who's driving? Oh, that's right. And then they jump out of the car and jump into the passenger seat and start the car. Do not have kids with this human being. I have no idea how one wears a bra. I theoretically wore the bra to the house, right? It's not like she'd packed one in a Boda bag or something. She showed up at the house wearing a bra, right?
Yes.
And then left minus the bra with no sense of like, where's my bra?
Was it one of those things where it was like, I know the wound is still raw for Adam, so I don't want to pick at it. But was it one of those things like in the movies where it was just so exciting that it was just like the clothes were strewn from the front door all the way up into the bedroom and the final item to be removed and tossed aside in the heat of passion was the brassiere?
If that's how you'd like to imagine it.
Why? Don't give me the sass. I'm not interested in that snarky tone, sir.
All right. Now, where do we rank this? Where's this ranked? It's got to be up there.
It's pretty high.
It's pretty high.
It might be number one.
Kalen, you better jump in and make your own defense, because if you're waiting for Loxie and for Gary to step up when you can be take the top position here.
There's really no good excuse for it.
Let me,
so I'm just going to sit here and
let me just have fun. What time did your girl leave on the day you picked us up?
She's still there.
Did she leave that day?
I believe she left around 1.
1. All right. So, again, a very narrow 9-hour and 15-minute window for which Kalen could clean up. He had to pick us up at 11:30. So, again, you know, she left at 1. He's got to leave our house about 10:40.
Ordered a pizza somewhere in there.
Clock is ticking.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be hard to beat.
Isn't the concept, Kalen, as discussed on a multitude of times by me, to just sort of take a walk around?
It is.
Now, how does that work where you don't walk into the bedroom? Like, I get the part where maybe not the kid's room. Like, I wasn't in there. Or I only got a blowjob in Sonny's room, but I wasn't laying down. But don't you have that part? I guess nobody has that part. But isn't that part where you kind of take that little walk around?
I did leave a lot of the cleaning to the last minute, I will say that. So I was cleaning all the house kind of at once. And when it came to the bedroom, I was a little more focused on putting the sheets in the wash,
sure,
and washing them properly, and then putting them back on, and
getting the huge Rorschach off my pillow.
All right, let's wrap it up there. I think that's more than enough. That's more than enough for today. Tomorrow, the NFL divisional round playoffs on Good Sports. Until then, for Adam Carolla, Dave Damashek, Podcast One, Good Sports out. Good Sports.
And make sure you follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, the Mandry events, books, movies, and more. Go to AdamCarolla.com and stay tuned for AP News.